and had the wonderful opportunity to interview some of the most accomplished and successful Montreal media figures, such as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, former Habs hockey player George Larac, and pop stars David Usher, Cyril Kumar, and Véronique Tiquet in my work as an entertainment journalist over the years.
We have to move to green energy. We absolutely have. We have to.
Just the idea that we all have the capacity to make a difference in the world, and that's what I was doing.
When I was going to play, whether you watch hockey or not, you're going to know who I am because I'll be doing something.
You have to believe in what you do and don't ever forget that what you do is your playground.
Throughout the difficulties, how do you, you know, stand strong and, you know...
Yoga is to eliminate the misery.
I've also interviewed Canadian rock band Nickelback and world-renowned spiritual master Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's changing the world for the better. So I've often been asked by people to do a podcast. So I'm so proud to welcome you to our Montreal's Moments podcast by Zensa Media Incorporated.
That's Montreal's with a Z.
Lots of thought-provoking, humorous conversations about our media industry in North America, with an emphasis on Montreal, one of the best multicultural cities in the world. Interviews with cool artists, public figures that drop by our city, proud local Montreal artists and entrepreneurs, or people who just love our city and have something to say about it. And my colleague Alexandra will be dropping by once in a while to co-host with me. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. Welcome to another episode of Montreal's Moments podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. We have the pleasure of having Montreal expert Tom Sievright in our studio today. We love Montreal at our Montreal Moments podcast. So Tom really caught our attention with his Instagram page where he posts great videos about our city and tells us the history behind it. So let's find out more about our wonderful Montreal city with Tom. Welcome to our podcast, Tom.
Thank you so much, Seema. It's nice to be here.
Pleasure to have you here. So tell us about your love for Montreal and your work as a tour guide.
Yeah, well, I think the love has always been there. I grew up in the city. I grew up, actually, if you want to get really technical, I grew up in LaSalle. And back in the days that I was growing up, I'm aging myself here, but Montreal did not include LaSalle back then. LaSalle
right.
was an independent city.
Yep.
Hence why still people today call it Ville LaSalle, because mm-hmm. it used to be its own city. Anyway, I grew up there, and then I moved to the West Island. I lived there for a few years, my teenage years. And then, I've been a city boy ever since, and I've always been obsessed with Montreal. So the love has always been there. But as a tour guide, that's something I've been doing only for going on my eighth year now. And I've been loving it ever since.
Wow. What's your studies background and how did you get into being a tour guide?
I feel like I've had so many different lives.
We haven't, Will.
I studied film. I studied communications. I studied journalism. I studied hotel management. And then I studied this course, this mandatory course that you have to take if you want to be a tour guide in Montreal. It's offered at l'ITHQ, and it's like a one-year course, two semesters, and it's pretty intense. And it really gives you a good general education of the city. In my opinion, the courses are well structured. There's maybe some room for other courses that they should add, like some subjects that I feel like they're not discussing, but they only have two semesters. If they had three or four, you know, you can get a lot deeper.
For sure.
But the courses offered there at l'ITHQ, and if you want to be a tour guide, it's a mandatory course to take. Mm-hmm. Once you take the course, when you pass, then you can apply for the city permit to be a guide. And it's actually quite unique in Montreal that we have this thing that you need to go through. Other cities on this continent have a test you need to take, but no course. So if you pass the test, then you can get the permit. But the test, passing the test is a 60% passing mark, I think. So even if you pass with like a 60, you still get your permit. Whereas in Montreal, because we have this background and this mandatory course, I feel like the tour guides here are next level. They're much better, much more informed, and we have a lot more practice because before you actually become a tour guide, you're studying, I know it sounds silly, but like how to control a crowd. How do you control a crowd on a crowded sidewalk when you're a group of 15 people and you've got all the commuters trying to get by, go back? You know, this is something that you would probably learn with experience. But because of this course, we have these techniques that were taught.
Wow.
And it's something I really appreciate. Montreal and Quebec City are the only cities in North America that make this a mandatory thing.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And so taking that class wound up in the career that you are today.
Yeah. And the funniest thing is this career, my whole life, I thought, you know what? When I retire, I think I want to be a tour guide. And I always thought it's something that I'm going to do when I'm like, you know, 65, 70 years old. And then at some point in my life, I just thought, what am I waiting to be 65, 70 to do what I really want to do?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I'm going to try it now. And I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make a living out of it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of tour guides that they only tour guide maybe part-time or maybe like they teach in the most of the year. And then in the summer, when teachers get the time off, they become tour guides for the summer. A lot of tour guides are actually also teachers. And I thought, well, why am I waiting? Can I afford it? Let's try 1 year. And if it works for 1 year, then I'll continue. And then it worked.
Amazing. Amazing. Congrats on that. That's a cool job.
I love it.
So how did you think about putting this interesting content on social media? And what has been the reaction of locals and people outside of the city?
Well, I didn't think about it. It just happened. I have had an Instagram account under this name, Montreal Expert, for, oh boy, like over 10 years. And up until about 2-3 months ago, you know, it wasn't a very popular account. I had my friends following me. I had my family following me and, you know, maybe a few other people, and that was about it. And then a few months ago, I was actually waiting for a tour group, and I'm just standing there waiting. And I was a little bit early, so I was like, oh, I'll post a video on Instagram. And that's the video that went viral that started everything. I posted the video. I don't think I opened up Instagram for like another day after I posted it. And then when I opened up Instagram, I'm like, oh my God, what's this? I have so many more followers, and people were just commenting on it and sharing it and saving it. And
wow,
that video, I think now is at, I don't know, over 500,000 views.
Amazing. Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy. And it all just started from there. So once that one hit and became popular, I thought, oh, well, I guess people like that. So I'll do more. So I turned it into what I call now the quickie tours.
Yeah,
that's what it's become.
Oh, wow. That's really neat. What is your favorite part about Montreal?
It's got to be the people. I think the people of this city are a very special group of people. It's hard to categorize in one category because we're so multifaceted. But I think if there's one thing that we all have in common is I think we're, first of all, a little bit crazy to live here.
In what sense?
To live somewhere where the winter can kill you. It takes a special type of person.
It's
True.
And then to live somewhere where, you know, there are issues, just like anywhere else. Our issues are ours. You go to Toronto, go to New York, there'll be their issues. You know, every city has their own issues. But our issues, I feel like sometimes they can really get to you and it feels personal. And, you know, the winter that can kill you, the issues that feel personal, the never-ending potholes, the really high taxes. Like, you know, there's a lot of negative.
Yeah.
Yet we still have this passion and this love. And you go down to Le Quartier des Spectacles in July, and there'll be 100,000 people outside having fun. No one cares about all those other things that I just mentioned. You put it aside. Because it takes a special type of person to be able to just enjoy life. And I think that's something that we do really well in Montreal, despite all the things that we could concentrate on that could get us down. And I'm not saying we don't think about them, but despite that, we still love this place.
Yes.
And there's a connection that a lot of locals here have to Montreal that I think is stronger than in a lot of other cities.
Mm-hmm.
There's an identity here that is not based on your language, your skin color, your religion, your background. The identity is you're a Montrealer. And that's a really, really, really deep thing. And I get comments all the time from people on my Instagram account now saying, like, you know, I really feel like you're connecting me with the Montreal that I love. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best compliment you can give me.
That's amazing. I'm going to ask you a little bit of a challenging question.
Okay. I like challenging questions.
So growing up, I've always felt it that way and I always seen it that way. And I think many do. And we have an international reputation of being a multicultural city. And when I say multicultural, so it can mean different things to different people. For me, that includes Anglophones, Francophones, sure. multi-ethnic Indigenous people whose land we live on.
Yeah.
And we have to acknowledge and respect that. There are some leaders in Montreal who are saying we're a Francophone métropole and trying to kind of phase out the people in the image of the presentation of the city on social media especially. So since you're the Montreal expert, are we still a multicultural city?
Without a doubt. How can you possibly be honest with yourself and say we're not?
Madame Plante, if you're listening to this podcast, I just want to say we had the Montreal expert confirm what I've already mentioned to you on social media is we are part of the city. We are. When you say we're a Francophone métropole, that means people who learn French as a second, third, fourth language, and 92% of people speak French in Montreal, as the studies have shown. You're kind of saying we're not part of it, and yet we are your fellow Montrealers. So we are part of it. We always have been. We always will be. And we just want to be respected and acknowledged. And we have this reputation for years, and you cannot minimize that. We are and we always will be, I believe, a multicultural city and proud of it and appreciated for it from people outside of the city.
I think when you have politicians saying things like that, it's just so obviously politics of division. It's so obvious that I don't even believe that these politicians sincerely believe it. I think they're just using it as a political tactic. Because these politicians, whether we like them or not, most of them are not stupid, okay? They're not. They're using these techniques as techniques of division because it's easier to divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And they're maybe more interested in their own political gain than the good of the actual city. And that's the problem with a lot of politicians in power today.
So if they're doing that, some of them saying that we're a French city instead of acknowledging the reality that we're a multicultural city, who are they? Who is responding to that message? And why would they want to also put forth a false narrative like that? Do you think?
Interesting. Who's responding to this message? I guess there is a base,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I do believe that. Even though we are a multicultural city, Montreal is also a Francophone city.
Mm-hmm. Like this is something, I'm bilingual.
Yeah. Bilingual, yeah. Well, the reality is that the majority of citizens speak a minimum of two languages.
Yep.
So that's the reality. But the reality is also that the vast majority of locals, their first language is French, right? In Montreal, I think, what is it, about 63% of locals speak French at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think English is, I think it's like in the teens. I think it's 13, 14% of locals speak English at home. So yeah, we are a multilingual city. We're a multicultural city, but at the base, you know, we are a Francophone city that is on unceded native land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, it's quite complex.
It is.
To get back to your question, I think that if the politicians are saying this, it's because they're appealing to some type of base,
mm-hmm.
Because that base can make up a big voter base for them. So it's a divide and conquer tactic. They haven't invented this. This has been happening for thousands of years.
Well said. My Zensa Media team and I were really excited to announce that our Zensa Media International Film Festival 7th edition is going to be taking place in November 2024. You can check out further details on our Film Freeway official website, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on Facebook, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on our website, www.zensamediafilmfestival.com, and on Instagram, Zensa Media. What is something great about our city that people don't appreciate enough, in your opinion?
Oh, man. That's an excellent question. I feel like I could give probably 20, 30, 40 different answers. There's so many good things about Montreal that I feel don't get enough attention. Give
us your top three.
I think one of the things that I often say to my clients, if you really want to understand Montreal, there's certain things you need to get. And one of the main things you need to get is Montreal is a student city.
Mm-hmm.
This is a student capital. I know that that is a big deal right now because of what is happening with Concordia and McGill and the CAQ government and the plans on raising tuition on Canadian students outside of Quebec. If this does go through, I know it's being challenged in the courts, so we're going to see where this goes. But if this does go through, this would be disastrous for Montreal's student city reputation. It would be disastrous for the economy of Montreal, because the reality is you take the students out of Montreal, Montreal's not Montreal anymore.
Yeah.
The students make up the heart and soul of what this city is.
Mm-hmm.
You go to any college town, any city that has a major student presence, and it's a big factor. In Montreal, it's like we're a student city on steroids, because we have four major universities.
Yeah.
And they are attached to about a dozen schools, mm-hmm. that are connected, like the Polytechnique or the HEC or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Students make up over 200,000 people in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And they give us the dynamic feeling that the city has. They make Montreal cool.
Yep.
They make Montreal innovative, a city of ideas, a city of the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that we should all understand is Montreal is a student city, and that is one thing we should protect at all costs, because it's the heart and soul of what this city is all about.
That's so well said. I mean, education is number one for success in any place in the world. And when you start chipping away at an institution, for example, McGill and Concordia, that are thriving, that put us on the map internationally, that bring, as you said, innovation, teach students who come up with, you know, great ideas, maybe cures for diseases someday,
yeah.
maybe like fix infrastructure problems here. Some, yes, they go back to their own province, but some, many decide to stay here.
Of course.
Some of them will definitely be part of the economy here. And an educated society is a successful society.
Yes.
Is a healthier society. You know, for mental health, less chance of Alzheimer's, the more educated you yep. are, people say, the more languages you know, mm-hmm. you have less chance of getting Alzheimer's. Many studies mm-hmm. have been presented in the media that seem very spot on, you know, as to showing the benefits of being educated. So we need people to run various industries in the province, and chipping away at two of the biggest universities, it's just bonkers, right? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
I'm an alumni of the universities here, and I'm yep. sure you are too.
Yep.
You've studied in university as well. So, you know, we know the value
of
an education, and we know, you know, bringing people together from different cultures, from different provinces. Also, we learn from them. They learn from us. And make us better citizens and make us better at our work in whatever industry people work in. So absolutely, I'm disappointed too to see more people not stepping up or understanding yeah. the severity of what is happening to the education system here. And how could we have ever imagined that McGill and Concordia are going to be in court with the,
yeah, it's,
the government? It's something unthinkable.
It really is unthinkable. And I think like... Again, I'm coming back to this idea that these politicians that are making these rules, I don't believe generally that they're dumb, but they're just doing dumb things for political gain, because they see this as, you know, well, this will appeal to my base or whatever, and I'm going to get reelected because of this.
Meanwhile, the city is falling
apart. The
city
is falling apart. If you're going to shoot McGill and Concordia in the foot, take a look, take a step back and see what you're doing. You're shooting the economy of the city in the foot. You're shooting the reputation of the city in the foot. Think of how many companies are in Montreal because of this easy access to students. Think of the industries that are the top industries in Montreal. Some of the top industries in Montreal are tech related. Video game production is a huge thing. AI development, we're the world capital of artificial intelligence.
Health-related research, a lot of McGill research, does a
exactly.
lot of research in healthcare.
This is all connected to the schools.
And if we can't complain after if we don't have doctors and nurses, and that includes the base that is apparently appealed by, you know, watching McGill and Concordia, you know, be chipped off. They need doctors and nurses too, and education is there to help provide this for society. So I think people don't think of the bigger picture, and that's why we need leaders who think of the bigger picture.
Oh my
and
God,
include
I wish,
everybody.
I wish we had leaders that saw the big picture.
Tom, you ever think of getting into politics?
I think about it every day.
Good.
I think about it every day, and then I think, no.
A life of public service, if done well, it's very rewarding, I'm sure.
I'm sure. It's yeah. I'm so passionate about it that it's something that I know I would dive right into. It's just, I feel like the consequences of a public life are what is not for me.
That's something society has to work on, and the leaders at the top levels have to set some guidelines so we can get back to civility the way we were prior to the last, you know, several years. So that's something I hope, and I think we all can agree on, is that hopefully that gets better and the climate improves so that we can have really good leaders come in, you know, to the mix, and people with innovative ideas, and get our city back to being one of the top cities in
Agreed.
The world. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
So Montreal has changed a lot over the years. What are some of the positive changes you've seen as you've been growing up to where you are today? And where do we have to do better?
Positive changes. I feel that's a really good question. And I feel like the answer should be easier for me to think about. But right now, I'm just kind of staring off into space thinking, what are the positive changes that have happened here? I think we can talk about some urban infrastructure projects that are really helping to change the city for the positive. I'm thinking we could talk about, you know, some of the green, access to green spaces. This is one thing that the Plante administration, I think, has done very well in creating these green spaces. Le Grand Parc de l'Ouest, and then the new park in the east end of the island as well. This green space is something that is going to be very, very, very important and valuable. And the fact that we're protecting it is really good. I think the art scene in the city has just been getting bigger and bigger and better and better.
Not in the film side, but maybe in other side, performance arts, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think in a lot of different arts, life has become tougher for the artists. That's another situation. I think the city is just... good question. I wish I had a better answer.
I told you I was going to have challenging questions.
I wish
for
I had
you.
A better answer. You know what? I'm going to get back to this one. But what was the part? The second part of that question.
So what are some of the positive changes, and where do we have to do better as a city?
Where do we have to do better? I think this is something that we can come back to the student thing again. Mm-hmm. Protect the universities at all costs. Mm-hmm. I think we can come back to civility. You just mentioned civility. I think there's a lot of, bashing of our representatives happening. And as much as sometimes I'd want to do that as well, I remain civil. And, you know, I understand that they are still human beings and they are flawed like everyone else. It's their policies that we can bash and not them.
I agree. That's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
Is you can challenge the work,
yeah,
but not take personal attacks at anybody, because that's just a waste of time.
It is.
And it just makes things worse.
Yeah. What does it do for the climate, really?
Nothing.
It just makes the climate worse. Yeah.
And it also clouds over this kind of thing where everyone's trying to be popular. As many say, they're just trying to please people. They want to be popular on social media. The thing is, that also clouds over the politicians who are doing a really good job and working very hard.
Good point.
They're often wind up being pushed a little bit into the back. And then they're working hard and their teams are working hard and they don't get to be seen. And we also don't get to acknowledge the good things. There's a broadcaster in the States, Anna Navarro. She's a co-host on The View, and she's a political analyst on CNN. And she's really something. Like, she really impresses me. I think a great, great role model, I think, for women and just broadcasters in general. And she often, says that, look, politics are cyclical. People should never be trying to harm others or using their job to try to take down other people. And it's because it just, you never know, you'll be on the receiving end of whatever.
That's right.
You're going to put forth anyways.
That's right.
Long-term view.
Yeah. And I'm always afraid, even when I like politicians, I'm always afraid to like them too much. Because I know that maybe in a year, I'm not going to like them anymore. I'm not going to like their ideas anymore, So.
But the sincere ones, they stay true to themselves and they do their political careers doing the right thing. There are many of them and we don't unfortunately get to hear about them. But what I like about her as well is she makes a list whenever anyone's saying anything about the president of the United States or commenting something negative. She pulls out a list and she lists all the good things that they've done.
Wow.
She'll say where they can do better and she'll challenge them. She's very fair that way. I like that about her too. But she makes sure that people know the good things that are being done, because often there are. They don't get acknowledged. And then that becomes really unfair to the person who's being criticized.
Yeah.
When there are the good things, we have to celebrate them and we have to magnify those things so that there'll be more of that and less of the,
Yeah. Agreed.
Nonsense.
Agreed.
So no, you answered that question really well. So we're going to take a pause for a moment and then we'll be back with Tom for some rapid fire questions. Tom, you ready?
Can't wait.
We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be right back. like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. From the Montreal Expert Instagram page. So now we're going to ask some rapid fire questions and get to know Tom a little more.
Awesome.
Are you ready, Tom?
I'm ready.
All right. Your favorite Montreal restaurant? I know that's a hard one because there's so many good ones, right?
That's so tough. This is not rapid fire at all. This one requires a lot of thought because I could say 50 different restaurants and I would be honest.
You can say your top three.
Okay. My God. No, let's keep it at one. Otherwise, yeah. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to say, let's go with, I love Le Miac.
Oh, and yeah. What kind of food is it? And
the
what
do you like French, about it? French bistro up on Laurier Avenue in Outremont. I like it as much for the vibe as I do for the food. And, it's just like a really cool, nice place, but cool laid back vibe.
And what kind of dishes do you like there?
I love their dessert. They have one of the best desserts in the city. I often go just for dessert.
Ooh, what kind of dessert? I'm curious now.
They do a pain perdu. It's like a French toast, yeah. But they do it with this big puffy brioche.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cover it with ice cream and maple syrup.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's so good.
Wow. It's okay, so I have good. To try this place. your favorite place to chill in Montreal?
Favorite place to chill? Mount Royal. I mean, it's a pretty common answer. I'm sure this is not very original, but there are a lot of nooks and crannies to Mount Royal. And there's a lot of places where you can, even on a like really nice, beautiful day, you can be completely alone. So yeah, I like Mount Royal because I live next to it. It's easy to get to for me. But also when you're there, you can see the city, you can be part of the city, or you can feel completely alone.
Very cool. So what was your favorite subject in school?
I loved geography. I loved history, languages. I think geography was probably my favorite.
Interesting. It goes with your job.
Yeah.
Your favorite Montreal arts event that you attended?
In my life?
Yes, it could be a concert, it could be a theater show, it could be anything in Montreal.
Oh, man. I'm going to go real broad. Just I'm going to say festivals in general because it's something Montreal does so well.
That's true.
We're the world capital of festivals.
We are.
And yeah, I think it's something we do so well in this city. So I'm just going to go real broad and say any festival.
That's cool. What's your favorite season?
Autumn, without a doubt.
And why?
Because I love when it's really nice and warm during the day, but then a little cool at night. And I love the beauty of the autumn. And I mean, you probably can tell from my Instagram page, I love wearing scarves. So it's my favorite accessory. And autumn is like the ultimate scarf wearing season, even though I wear them in the winter. In the winter, they're necessary. Whereas in autumn, they're like just pure fashion.
That's a good answer. And for those of you tuning in outside of Quebec and Canada, sometimes we can have four seasons in one day in Montreal. It's that volatile weather.
That's that right.
We've seen many days like that where you don't know what to wear because they announce it's going to be a bit mild in the earlier part of the day. And by the time you come home from work, it's freezing.
Yep. Wasn't it supposed to rain today? And look, it's a beautiful blue sky day.
But you know, that keeps us on our toes, right? And when we have the good weather, we really appreciate it. So that's a good thing.
And I think there's a particular relationship that Montrealers have with weather. I think people in this city, we have a very special relationship. I have friends that live in other countries, other cities, where it's the same weather every day. And part of me is jealous of them.
Yeah.
But then I would never be able to live that life because I think my mind would go crazy because I need that constant change yes. of weather. So it's become part of me.
That's good. If you could be tourism minister for a day, what would you do?
Tourism minister for a day. I don't know. That's a great question. I've never thought of that. So we're talking a lot about me and my future career in politics today.
Looks like it. The universe is trying to tell you something, Tom.
Minister of Tourism, I think I would try to get some type of promotion for tourists to be able to travel within the province. So all the tourists that come to Montreal, try to get them to spend a few days here and then a few days in other regions surrounding Montreal. Spread the wealth with our neighboring regions. Montreal gets a lot of tourists. We had a few record years right before the pandemic. Since then, we've been going, building up again, and we're on track to get back to those record years very soon. Why not spread the love? Send a few people to La Naudière, send a few people to Outaouais and Les Cantons de l'Est and all these other beautiful regions that we have.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Tom. This was a great conversation and a great topic to talk about Montreal and our mutual love for Montreal. So you're welcome back anytime. And to talk more, we had so many more questions to ask you, so we'll definitely have you back again.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for this. I had lots of fun.
I'm glad. Thank you. And thanks to all of you listening to our show. We hope you enjoyed this great conversation and feel a little more connected to our city for our locals. And for those outside of the city, please come visit us this summer. We have so many great places to check out and such a beautiful city to discover. So thank you again, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Montreal's Moments podcast. Have a great one. With our podcast updates on Instagram, Montreal's Moments, that's Montreal's with a Z. Facebook, you can find our content on Zensa Media page and of course on Balado Quebec website where you can check us out on Montreal's Moments page as well there.
Excellent.
Yay.
Thank you.